The Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. And the verses that, with the Lord's help, I would like to concentrate on this evening are those verses 22, 23, and 24. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and thronged him. Whenever I think of Mark chapter 5, I immediately think of the three great events which are recorded there. Three great events in which the Lord Jesus put forth his mighty power. First of all, in Mark 5, we read about the Lord Jesus going to the country of the Gadarenes, and there met a man who said he was called Legion. He said he was called Legion because he was possessed of a legion of unclean spirits. He was a hopeless case, this man, Legion. No one wanted him, and no one could help him. That is, until the Lord Jesus arrived upon the scene. There, amidst the tombs where Legion dwelt, there in that place of death, Christ put forth his power and gave new life to this man, Legion. No one could help him. No one cared about him. No one, that is, but Jesus Christ, because Christ went there to the country of the Gadarenes to meet with Legion. Jesus cared, and Jesus helped him. So in the country of the Gadarenes, the Lord demonstrated his power over the devil. The next demonstration of power took place in the life of one who was only named or called a certain woman. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, verse 25. Poor woman. She had sought the help of every physician in the land, but no one could help her. She was willing to pay for a cure, and did so. Indeed, we are told she spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. No help. No hope. No healing for this woman until she met the Master. And she only touched the hem of his garment, as to his side she stole, amid the crowd that gathered around him, and straightway she was whole. And yes, by his power, he had helped the demoniac. And by that same all-conquering power, he now helped the diseased woman. demons, and disease. Would there be anything that was beyond the power of Christ? Would there be any problem that he couldn't solve? Had he the power to defeat death? That power was tested when Jairus, one of the rulers of the synagogue, called him to the bedside of his only daughter, 12-year-old daughter, one that he describes as his little daughter. Could anything be done for this helpless, still form of a 12-year-old girl? Well, glory to God. Jesus Christ can do all things. And that includes raising the dead. And so by the power, he raised up Jairus' daughter from the dead. From her deathbed. And once again, the family was a complete unit. Mother, father, and daughter. So here in this chapter 5 of Mark, we have these three great events, which the Lord Jesus put forth his mighty power. He demonstrated his power over demons, over disease, and over death. But in thinking of the three events in this chapter 5 of Mark, and especially the raising of Jairus' daughter to life again, there is something that we can so easily overlook. We think about the Lord raising up Jairus' daughter, but have we ever thought about Jairus himself? We tend to pass by Jairus and go, as it were, with the Lord to the bedside of his daughter and rejoice, as we ought to, of course, rejoice in the raising of his daughter to life. But there are lessons to be learned, gospel lessons to be learned from this man's meeting with Christ. We would do well to give attention to the lessons that we may learn from Jairus and his meeting with the Lord. I want us first of all to consider Jairus' coming to Christ. Upon the Savior's return from the country of the Gadarenes, we're told there in verse 21 that much people gathered unto him. Much people gathered unto him. And in that crowd, that multitude of people that gathered on to Christ, there was one man. One man called Jairus, who, as it were, stepped out from the crowd and came to the Lord Jesus. It's good when men step out from the crowd. It's good when men step out from their friends and they step out and they come to Jesus Christ. That's what Jairus did. But notice first of all his reason for coming to Christ. Jairus had a very good reason for coming to the Lord Jesus that day. There was trouble in his home. there was trouble, sickness in his house. His 12-year-old daughter was dying. I've often wondered if that 12-year-old girl had not fallen sick. I wonder if she had not fallen sick, would Jairus ever have come to the Lord? Sometimes sickness or a serious illness or some other kind of trouble will bring men to Christ. They never would have come otherwise, too caught up in business, too focused on what this world has to offer. No time to think about the world to come. Like that rich man we mentioned this morning. He had had a bountiful harvest. He had brought in the harvest and he looked out upon his fields and there was more to be brought in. But his barns were full. And you can just picture that farmer standing in his yard. The barns behind them, full to the doors. And he's standing, wringing his hands and saying, what shall I do? Then he says, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. I'll build greater. And I will say to my soul, soul, take thine ease. Thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Eat, drink, and be merry. That man hadn't time to think about eternity. He hadn't time to think about God. He hadn't time to think about heaven or about hell. No time for such things. He had some more important matters to attend to. Until that night God called him into his presence. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. And many are like that man, no time, perhaps until an incurable disease is found racing through their veins. A disease that has sapped their strength and their vitality and the color from their cheeks and the sparkle in their eyes. And soon their very life itself. And then they begin to think about God. Then they begin to think about eternity. And they begin to consider their latter end. And it's then, not until then they call on Christ. Then they come to the Lord. You know what the sad part of that is? That there are many today and they will not come to Christ until something like that happens to them. Why would sinners wait until some tragedy hits them? Some trial comes upon them that they cannot see their way through. Why do they wait till then? Is it not better to come to Christ whenever you're in good health, that you can give your life to the Lord? Reminds me of a man's first name was Eddie. Edward. In my first congregation. His name was mentioned every Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. His wife was saved. She was there. She would often pray for her husband. And this man, Eddie, was prayed for every Wednesday night. I was in that church for 4.5 years. For almost that length of time, this man's soul was prayed for. I remember one day being out and the thought of this man and his need of Jesus Christ really burdened my heart, and I just drove up, went into the house to see him and told him I was burdened for his soul and pleaded with him to come to the Lord, and he wouldn't hear of it. And then some months later, his wife phoned me to tell me her husband Eddie had been admitted to hospital. He had an incurable disease. And I went into the hospital there in Omagh and again talked to him about the Lord. And he said, I want to get saved. No long he lived after that, 2 weeks, 14 days. He just got into heaven by the skin of his teeth. Why did he wait so long? Why did he wait until this disease took him? Why do sinners wait so long? It was the dying daughter of Jairus that brought him to Christ. It was his reason. I notice also his readiness to come to Christ. Now, I do not see any reluctance on the part of Jairus at this particular time to come to the Lord. It may have been at other times, may have been prior to this incident, but there's no reluctance now. The reason being, of course, because he had a daughter who was, we're told, at the point of death. She was at death's door. This, in many ways, for Jairus, was a race against time. What did he say? My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come, come. And lay thy hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. For Jairus, it was a race against time. Jairus knew that death was approaching and he had no time to lose. And that's how it is. That's how it is. We all have an appointment with death. Paul said in Hebrews 9 verse 27, it is appointed unto men once to die. It is appointed unto men once to die. After this, the judgment. And for sinners, there's an after. After this, the judgment. And with every breath, the sinner draws, that appointed hour gets ever closer. With every passing day, he's getting nearer to keeping that appointment. It's a race against time. And sadly, many sinners do not see it that way. They think of all the time in the world. Really, it's a race against time. It's a race to get into Christ before the appointed hour again making reference to the rich man, he had an appointment with death. Isn't it interesting that the death angel often visits at night? I have had occasion to sit with people for hours in the hospital and sit with their families and sit around the bed with them of their loved one. And they always struck me. It was usually around 2 or 3 in the morning when the death angel visited that bed. What did the Lord say to the rich man? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You read the book of Exodus, read chapter 12, and you'll find that the death angel flew through the streets visiting every Egyptian home and slaying the firstborn, and it was at night. It was at night that the weeping and the wailing was heard in the homes in Egypt, because their firstborn had been taken from them. You've read the story of that great feast in the temple palace of Belos, when the king of Babylon summoned 1,000 of his lords and had a great feast. And while he was feasting, the enemy was already at the gates. And out of the dark sleeve of the night, the fingers of a man's hand began to reap right on the plaster of the wall over against the candlestick. Thou art wed in the balances and found wanting, it said. And then it says this. That night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. It was at night that Belshazzar died. It was at night that the death angel visited Egypt. It was at night that the rich man was summoned into the presence of God. They had kept their appointment. And for sinners, what if it was tonight, this night, that you had to keep that appointment? Would you be ready to die? It's a race. It's a race against the pale horse. The pale horse, and the name of him that sat on him was death, and hell followed him. Oh, to the arms of Jesus fly. That's where you'll be safe. Praise the Lord. His reason for coming to Christ, his readiness to come to Christ. Notice his reverence in coming to Christ. When Jairus came to the Lord Jesus, we are told, when he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, he may have been one of the rulers of the synagogue, and no doubt proud of that position that he held. But now was no time for pride. Now was no time for self-exaltation. Jairus had a need and must take the humble position, and that humble position was down at the feet of Jesus. And you know that's what's wrong today. That's why many sinners do not come to Christ. They're too proud. They're too proud to acknowledge they are sinners. How dare the preacher say they are sinners? How dare anybody call them a sinner? And they're too proud. Too proud to confess they're a sinner. Too proud to come to Jesus Christ. There are far more important issues at stake than a man's pride. There's a man's soul at stake. It is the welfare of your eternal soul that should be concerning you. Forget about your pride and come down. Take that humble place at the feet of Jesus. Come to Christ. Come to the feet of Christ. But it wasn't so much this sense of need that brought Jairus to the feet of Christ. Look at the words carefully. In verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. Mark the words. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. When Jairus saw Christ, he fell at his feet. There was something in that view of the Lord Jesus that melted the heart of Jairus, that humbled him, and that brought him to the feet of the Lord. That's all that was needed. A view of Jesus Christ. And for sinners tonight, that's all they need, is a view of Christ. If you were to see him hanging on the cross in agony and shame, you would fall at his feet. If you could see the blood flowing from those open wounds, I believe you would fall at his feet. If you could see that brow once crowned with cruel thorns, you would fall at his feet. If you could see the love in his eyes, if you could hear him praying there for sinners, you would fall at his feet. If you could see that visage, it was marred more than any man's, and know that it was all for sinners like you, would you not fall at his feet? Wear the whole realm of nature mine. That were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands no, shall have my life, my soul, my all. Just a view of Christ is all that's needed. So you have Jairus coming to Christ. And then you have Jairus' complaint for Christ. Jairus had something to tell the Lord. Jairus had something upon his heart when he came to the Lord Jesus that day. He fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And as Jairus came with this complaint, I want you to know notice his reception. He was received by the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus received him that day. Yeah. The Lord received this man and heard his complaint and went with him to that house of death. Jairus came that day to the Lord. He came that day to the stranger of Galilee, believing that the Lord would not turn him away. He believed that what he had heard about the Lord Jesus was true, that he receiveth sinful men. And his belief was not misplaced, because when he came to Jesus that day, Christ received him. For the Lord Jesus receives all who in their desperation come to him in humility and cast themselves upon his love. And you know something? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He received Jairus 2,000 years ago. He has been receiving sinners ever since, and he's receiving sinners today. The Lord, who is the unchangeable Christ, is still receiving sinners. That means that if you come to him in your sin, he will receive you. And that is guaranteed. That is guaranteed. You have his word upon it. And the Lord Jesus, as the perfect gentleman, always keeps his word. What is that word? Listen. These words came from the lips of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he who cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." No wise cast out. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, what you've said, how great of a sinner you are, I will no wise cast you out. No wise. Is that not a good reason for coming? Knowing the Lord will not cast you out. He'll never seek an excuse to turn you away. Rather, he will receive you with open, loving arms. Praise his name. Notice his request. His readiness to come to Christ. Look at his request in verse 23 again. He besought him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." This man came to the Lord Jesus as a man with a heavy burden. His little girl, as he called her. Is that not a term of endearment? My little daughter. is at the point of death. And this man came to the Lord Jesus carrying a heavy burden. And he came to Christ trusting Christ to lift that burden. Legion came to Christ burdened by the devil. The woman had come to the Lord Jesus burdened down with disease. Bartimaeus had come to the Lord Jesus burdened by his blindness. A father that we read about in the Gospels came to the Lord Jesus burdened about his lunatic son. The Syrophoenician woman came one day to the Lord Jesus burdened about her wayward daughter. They all had their burdens. They all came to Jesus with their own burdens and their own requests. And they all came to Jesus to have their burdens lifted, and glory to his name, he lifted them all. Every one of them. He delivered Legion. He healed the woman. He gave Bartimaeus his sight. He healed the lunatic's son. He delivered the wayward daughter. Whatever our burdens are tonight, whatever troubles us tonight, your sin, your shame, your sorrows, whatever burdens you this evening, come to Christ. Bring your burdens to the Lord. Is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, his burden bearing, all your anxiety leave there. All your anxiety, all your care, bring to the mercy seat. Leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. Never a friend like Jesus. And Jairus found that to be true. You notice in his coming to Christ, his reliance on Christ. He was relying on Jesus Christ to do something for him and his daughter. I believe that Jairus, like the woman with the issue of blood, Jairus had tried and sought help elsewhere. But nobody could help him. Nobody could help his daughter. And he was coming now to the Lord Jesus, depending on Christ, relying on Christ. Christ was his only hope. His only hope. Sinners have no hope of ever been free from the power of sin without Jesus Christ. No hope of been set free from the burden and bondage of sin without Jesus Christ. No hope of heaven and true happiness without Jesus Christ. There's no hope of that. No hope at all. No hope of escaping hell and eternal damnation without Christ. No hope of ever entering into the kingdom of heaven without Jesus Christ. Christ is your only hope. Only hope. As we often sing, my hope is in the Lord who gave himself for me and paid the price of all my sin on Calvary. For me he died, for me he lives, and everlasting life and light he freely gives. Everlasting light and life he freely gives to all who come to him. He's your only hope. And finally, you have Jairus comforted by Christ. From the moment he met him, Jairus found comfort in the Lord Jesus. And for believers here this evening, has that not been our testimony, our case too? From the day we have come to Jesus Christ, we have enjoyed the comfort of Christ. Notice the path. There's a path mentioned here. For you see, a servant had come and told Jairus some bad news. Given him bad news. Verse 35, and while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. That was a heavy blow. Want you to notice something there. They came and they spake unto Jairus and said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Look at verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler. There's the comfort of Christ. Before the force of the shock set in, Jesus spoke to Jairus. Said, fear not, Jairus. It's all right. It's going to be all right. But the bit that I wanted to notice is the verse 24. And Jesus went with him. Jairus has just received bad news. The light of his life, the love of his heart, his little girl is dead. But it says, Jesus went with him. Put yourself in Jairus' shoes. You think about going from that place where those people came and said to Jairus, your daughter is dead. You think of Jairus walking from there to his house. That would have been a long road. That would have been a lonely road. What was he going to tell his wife? How was he going to comfort her? How was he going to face seeing his only child? A dead, lifeless form. It says, Jesus went with him. How Jairus was comforted by the Lord Jesus going with him. Where was Jairus going? He was going to the house of death. And as we've already said, we're all going to the house of death. We're going to keep that appointment. You know what the sad thing is? Many who are on that road, that path towards death, they don't have anybody to go with. Oh, they've got family and friends. But family and friends cannot do anything for them when they come to breathe their last. Who's going to go with them down into the valley? It's a dark valley. It's a deep valley. The valley of death. Who's going to go with them then? Jesus went with him. Oh, the comforting presence of Christ. Jairus was able to face what there was in his house because Jesus went with him. Notice the person. Who did Jairus have go with him? Jesus. Jesus went with him. Why, he couldn't have had a better person in all the world to go with him than Jesus Christ, the man of sorrows, the one who's acquainted with grief, the one who knows all about death, the one who knows all about suffering, the one who knows all about loneliness, couldn't have had a better person to go with him. We couldn't have a better person to go with us. The sinner couldn't have a better person to go with them. If only they would come to him and receive him. Be able to say, I fear no foe with thee at hand to bless. Notice his presence. Look at verse 24 again. Look carefully. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now there was a great company of people, a great multitude of people there. And out of that multitude, there's only one person went with Jairus. You notice that? And Jesus went with him. The others were following. The others were just followers. There was only one person went with Jairus. And that was Jesus. And Jesus Christ is the only one who will go with us along that rough and difficult, lonely road. You'll not find too many in this world who will go with you in the bad times as well as the good times, but Jesus will. You'll not find too many in this world who will go with you whenever you're down and out, but Jesus will. You'll not find too many in this world who will go with you when everyone else seems to be against you, but Jesus will. You'll not find too many who will lift you when you fall and continue to walk with you after that. But glory to his wonderful, wonderful name, Jesus will. He'll go with you. He'll go with you all the way. You know, in between the first meeting Jairus had with Christ, another incident took place that we know, this woman with the issue of blood. And so the Lord's attention was diverted for a season, and he attended to the need of this dear woman. And then the Lord Jesus went on with Jairus. In other words, the Lord didn't forget about him. The Lord didn't forget about him. And praise his name, Christ will never forget about us. Never. He'll go with us. You know what he has told us? I will never leave thee. Nor forsake thee. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O our God, those of us tonight who are saved, rejoice in Christ our Savior. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. And yet, Lord, that which saddens us tonight is that so many do not know Thee. And they're going through this life towards that appointment they will keep one day, and they're going alone. O gracious God, draw by Thy Spirit sinners to Thyself. Sinners might come to Jesus, and He will receive them with those loving arms. Lord, answer prayer. We rejoice in Christ our Savior tonight. Write the word upon our hearts. May we meditate upon it this Sabbath evening. Be with us now as we part the one from the other. Keep Thy hand upon us for good. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forever. Amen.